We bring our thinking today to Psalm 51, and as we do, I'd like to call your attention to the fact that these introductory notes at the beginning of the Psalms are not inserted by someone later on. They are part of the original text, and this psalm has a superscription, as some of the others do. And it's self-explanatory, and I think essential to the understanding of the psalm. Let me read it. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Now that, I think, is not only self-explanatory, but that's crystal clear. And it's a reference to the great blot on David's life. Now, it's not our intention today to go into the lurid details of David's sin. I think it's suffice to say he broke two of the commandments. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And he did with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And then he broke the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And although he did not personally kill Uriah, he had him put in the front of the battle so he would be. Now, this was a dastardly deed on the part of David. Now, after this disgraceful incident, David did nothing. He said nothing. And those who knew, and I'm sure there were those who did know, they followed suit. They kept quiet also. And actually, what David did was not unusual. If it had been down in Egypt, or over in Babylon, or in Philistia, or in Edom, or Moab, and later on in the kingdoms of the world, and even today, that could be true in Washington, and I'm told that it is true, that the conversation is who's going with who in Washington. But nevertheless, for David, it was different. He's God's man. God's man can't get by with it. But when you put him down with the others, he doesn't look near as bad as some would have you think, because in that day it was common sin, and today, of course, it is. It's just like someone has said that you put down a bunch of crooked sticks. I know that when I was a boy, I'd go out and cut wood. I used to have to cut down trees. My dad owned some property along by a little river in southern Oklahoma, and I'd cut down a tree, and then on Saturday I'd have to chop it up, and then I'd get an armful and bring it in. Well, these limbs were crooked, but you know, when you put a bunch of crooked limbs together, they straighten out each other. And you put David down with some of the others, why, he looks maybe not as black, but since he's God's man, what he did is black as ink, and it is as ugly as hell itself, the thing that he did. And today, I'm afraid that even in Christian circles, sometimes the only thing that happens is a few eyebrows are arched, but it's sin in God's sight. Now, it looks as if David got by with it, but David tells us he didn't get by with it. We've already had Psalm 32, which was not a penitential psalm as this one is, but it was a psalm of instruction in which David draws lessons from what happened to him, and he gives us his experience, and he says in Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moistures turned into the drought of summer. Now, David kept quiet, and it looked like he got by with it, but he didn't. I tell you, his conscience was really working on him, and he was losing weight. He lost all joy. He wasn't the happy king he'd been before. So God sent Nathan to David, and it was an urgent matter. I think he asked for an audience, and it may have been a lull in the business of the court. Anyway, Nathan told him a little parable. A rich man and a poor man in a certain town. And it was understood this was a true story. He told about this poor man had a little ewe lamb, and the rich man had a whole flock of sheep. In fact, he had thousands of them. And this rich man, when the visitors came to him, he went over and got the poor man's little ewe lamb, and he killed it. Well, David had been a shepherd boy. He knew how you could get attached to a little lamb. And he could see this that was wrong in somebody else. So this red-headed king, he got angry. He had a short fuse, by the way. And he stood up. And I tell you, he said, I want to know who that man is. We're going to deal with him. And Nathan, I think, is the bravest man in the Bible. He pointed his finger, David, and he says, thou art the man. Now, there are three courses that are open to David. He can deny the charge, which a great many would do. We've had many men in public life that got caught, and then they denied it altogether, that they had committed adultery. And then David could have done something else in that day. He could merely have pointed his scepter at Nathan, and his guards would have led him out and executed him. He could have done that. And believe me, that would have shut many mouths. It would put a zipper on many. They wouldn't dare to have talked except in the cloak rooms and back into the pool rooms in that day. The third course that was open to him, he could admit the charge. And so he followed the latter course, and he made a confession of his sin. Now, he didn't get by with it. Listen to him in verse 13 of 2 Samuel 12. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given a great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that's born unto thee shall surely die. That happened, but scandal and tragedy came to the house of David from that day to his dying day. And you feel like saying to the Lord, take the lash off his back. But God never did. David never asked God to. I asked him to, but David never did, because he wanted to have fellowship with God, and his heart was like the psalm that says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Now, in this psalm, you have a great penitential psalm, and you have here the cry of David. And you have that in the first three verses, the cry of the conscience and conviction of sin in the life of David. And then you have, I might give you the outline here, in the second major division, a cry of confession of sin and the clemency or compassion of God. And then finally, and that, by the way, is in verses 4 to 8, and then you have in verse 9, I think to the end of the psalm, a cry for cleansing and communion with God.